Pues yo creo que cuando llegas, pues ya está.
Okay, hello everyone. So we have been very lucky to have Ana with us for the last year and a half as a talento fellow to there right now. So she did her PhDs in the next week that year she came to give a seminar. So yeah, even with that short career, she was already invited to share her results with us. And after that, she had a extremely productive career in several places. Working in at several cosmological surveys, Black Energy Survey in Euclid and DESI, and holding positions in CCAP at the Ohio State University, the University of Edinburgh, talking out of Edinburgh here in the University of Bochum with a Marie Curie Fellowship, and finally with our Endowment Fellowship. So she had a very extensive career in just a few years after PhD, and her specialty is in the combination of different surveys.
Thanks a lot for the introduction. So yes, I'm going to talk about cosmology from a combination of galaxy cluster and weak lensing, but also combining data from multiple surveys. First of all, I'm going to give some introduction about the cosmology and these probes. Then I'm going to present very recent results from this combination from the Dark Energy Survey full data set. And then I'm going to talk about also recent results of this combination, but using data from multiple surveys, and this is a project from DESI in particular. So first of all, to give a bit of introduction, the standard cosmological model, Lambda-CVM, consists of this composition, current composition of the universe. So we have that only 4% is baryonic matter. And the rest is unknown components. So we have about 27% of dark matter that we know is matter, but it doesn't interact with light. So we know it exists, but we don't know yet what it's made of. We denote the total matter energy density by this symbol, omega n, that will appear throughout the talk. So the total is about 51%. And then the rest is dark energy that we know is responsible for the accelerating expansion of the universe, but also we don't know, we don't exactly comprehend the nature of these components. So about 95% of the universe today is unknown. Mentioned dark energy is responsible for the accelerated expansion of the universe today, and according to the standard cosmological model, it's a cosmological constant. So it acts as a fluid with energy density that is constant with time and with negative pressure. So this is denoted by this equation of state for dark energy equal to minus one, and it doesn't evolve with time. So in this plot, in which you can see that the evolution of the different energy density components in the universe with time, so with redshift, with the cosmological constant, we discover that this is a horizontal line here. But current observations still allow some variation as you go farther away in time. So we are trying to have more precise measurements of the evolution of the position of state with time, so that we can completely, well, confirm whether if it's a cosmological constant or whether it's some other component or it has a different evolution. We also have that since with the standard cosmological model, the Big Bang model, the universe started with a Big Bang and then followed an inflationary period with exponential acceleration. At some point, as the universe expanded, also the universe cooled down, and this allowed the photons to decouple from from matter, and this gives us a picture of the early universe. So this is the godly matter background, is a snapshot of the early universe when it was only about 400,000 years old. And then the universe continued accelerating. At some point, it cooled down enough so that some structures could be formed, and we have the first stars, the first galaxies, and we are here now with the galaxy surveys that map all the this distribution of galaxies, observing the late universe. And so that the goal of all these cosmological analysis is to test Landa's idea by comparing this. There's some delay in the Wi-Fi thing. But yes. Okay, working now. So we are comparing, the goal of this analysis is to compare the late observations and check if they are compatible with those from the early universe. And this gives us a powerful test of the Landa CDM model through all the history of the universe. So the galaxy surveys, the goal of this is to map this distribution of large scale structure that we observe today. This is an example, a recent map from the Dark Energy Spectroscopic Instrument, so the first data release. You can see here this nice resolution of this survey. We would be here in these observations, and then this would correspond to galaxies that are farther away from us, so at higher redshift. And so we can learn more from dark matter and dark energy, but by mapping this distribution of the large scale structure, since this gives us information about the growth of these structures through time. And in particular, one of these probes is using the positions of galaxies, since they are traces of this underlying matter distribution. So we use two-point statistics to characterize the distribution of the positions of galaxies, and this is what we call galaxy clustering. One thing that we have to take into account here is that galaxies are a biased tracer of the underlying matter density field. And here you can see this visually with these two snapshots of the Millennium simulations corresponding to the same region of the simulation. The left would correspond to the dark matter distribution. And in the right, you can see the galaxy distribution. You can see visually that they are following the same underlying distribution, but they are slightly different. So this is something that we have to take into account in our analysis. And another powerful probe of these galaxy surveys is weak gravitational lensing. So due to weak gravitational lensing, galaxies that are far away from us, the light that is coming from those galaxies is slightly distorted as it has to travel through all the distribution of other galaxies and matter in the universe. No? So all these here are gravitationally potential wells from other galaxies that are closer to us than those galaxies, which are also clustered. So due to all this distribution of large scale structure, there is some weak gravitational lensing effect that the consequence, the images from these source or background galaxies are slightly shear. So they are slightly distorted. And this effect is correlated with all the distribution of large scale structure between those galaxies and us. So we can extract information, so we can map this distribution of large scale structure if we correlate all these shears of the source galaxies. And this is what we do in these galaxy surveys. So we have, as mentioned, we have galaxy clustering. So we correlate the positions of the galaxies to extract information from the underlying matter distribution, and this would correspond to these red dots that you can see here. These galaxies at the same time act as lenses for galaxies that are farther away, so they are the cause of this weak gravitational lensing effect from these other yellow galaxies from which we measure cosmic shear, also to extract information from all this distribution. And since both of them are tracing the same distribution of large scale structure, they are correlated, and we can measure galaxy arc lensing, which would be correlating the positions of these lens galaxies with the shapes of the source galaxies. So this is a these are the main props that we're using in this combined weak lensing and galaxy clustering analysis. And when using two-point correlation functions, as I mentioned for galaxy clustering, we usually combine these two to in which we call the 2 times 2 point is just the combination of 2-point functions. And then I will, when we usually call 3 times 2 point the combination of everything, this just in case it appears throughout the talk. But the important thing here is that this, as I mentioned, they trace the underlying distribution of large scale structures. So from this, we can extract information on the matter energy density and indirectly on the dark energy density today. And then also sigma n, which tells us about the amplitude of these growth fluctuations in the large scale structure. So this type of plots will appear throughout the talk. Here, these are the posterior distributions. So these are the preferred values of these parameters given the data. And the inner contour will be the 68%. So one sigma, and the outer contour is the two sigma contour, so 95%. And as you can see, each combination of probes have different, slightly different directions. So what we do is to combine everything in this 3 times 2 point analysis to break the degeneracy between parameters and have more clustering power. There are also different types of galaxy surveys. So we have mainly 2 times photometric and spectroscopy. The mouse here. So in photometric surveys, we have a camera with broadband filters, which allows us to have pictures of millions of galaxies, and we need these statistics for weak gravitational lensing because it's a very small effect, this shear distortion. And so this allows us to measure the weak gravitational lensing of galaxies, and these type of surveys are also needed to find the targets for spectroscopic surveys, which I'll cover next. But they have worse precision for the edge of galaxies because we have this broadband filter, so we cannot, it's more difficult to estimate exactly the redshift of these galaxies, so how far away they are. And then we have spectroscopic galaxies such as DESI. With this, we can obtain the spectra for each individual galaxy, so we have very accurate measurement of their distance from us, and this allows us to measure galaxy clustering with high precision and to make these beautiful maps that you can see here. So you might have heard about these surveys. This is how they are distributed. So in photometric surveys, we have the Dark Ages survey in which a group has been involved since the beginning. And I'm going to talk more about this later today. Then we also have the Kilo Degree survey, which is also involved. Hyper Supreme Camp. And then in the new generation of surveys, we have LSST and Euclid. Euclid is also has a spectroscopic instrument, so it's in both categories. And then currently we also have DESI. So from this, in our group, we are involved in all these surveys except HSC. And I am actively involved in DES, Euclid, and DES. But I'm going to talk today mainly about DES and DESI. So moving to the Dark Ages survey, so I'm going to talk about recent results from just this January, from this combination of galaxy clustering and weak lensing using the full data set from DES. So DES had a 570 megapixel camera mounted at the Blanco 4-meter telescope in Chile. The full survey consists of 6 years of observations that finished in 2019, but we're just now finishing the cosmological analysis of these observations, because this analysis takes really long. The wide field of this survey covers 5,000 square degrees, which corresponds to this area that you can see here in the south, and it overlaps with other cosmological surveys, such as Euclid, SST, and partly with KITS. And it has 5 optical bands, GRI, Z, and Y, and compared to the previous analysis, year 3 that covered 3 years of observations, this data set reaches higher redshift with 50% higher source density, which is used for weak lensing. So we have more signal for this with gravitational lensing probe. There are different cosmological probes that have been used within this. So to study the historical expansion, we can use Type 1a supernovae, baryon acoustic oscillations, which is a molecular scale imprinted in the matter distribution that comes from the early universe. Then people have been doing follow-up of gravitational waves, and this allows also to get a measurement of the growth of expansion of the universe. And some people have also been working on strong lensing. And then we have several probes that allows us to know the history of growth of the large scale structure. And as I mentioned, we have large scale structure or galaxy clustering with gravitational lensing and galaxy cluster counts. And from these, the main probes are supernovae, BAO, galaxy clustering with lensing, and cluster counts. And we are about to finish the full analysis of these main probes. So the final supernovae analysis already finished in 2024. The final BAO measurement also finished in 2024 and was combined with supernova last year. And this is an analysis that was led by Tiamat, and Santi presented it last year in a seminar here. Now I'm going to talk about this combination, galaxy clustering with lensing, from the full data set that just was released in January. This will be the focus. And we just waiting for the final analysis of from galaxy cluster counts that is expected this year. So this year we expect to have the combination of all these probes, which was the main probes for which this was designed at the beginning. So it will be very exciting and the end of an open. And as mentioned, this 3×2 analysis finished in January. There was a webinar in which the results were presented, and here you can check all the papers that were released. So there are more than 20 interconnected papers overall, but I'm going to talk about the main one showing the 3×2 results. And so in this, I already mentioned a bit that we have some galaxies for which we measure galaxy clustering and act as lenses for the source galaxies for which we measure cosmic shear. We split this galaxy sample in several redshift bins, so we do a demographic analysis. So here we split in these redshift shells, and here you can see the distribution of the number of galaxies in these tomographic bins as a function of redshift. So we have, for the source sample for which we measure weak lensing, we have about 140 million galaxy shapes, which is a huge number and an increase with respect to our previous analysis. And these are split into four tomographic bins. And then for the lenses for which we measure galaxy clustering, we have this MagLIMP sample that has about 11 million galaxy positions. So this is a smaller number because we need a higher redshift accuracy in this case. And this is split in six tomographic bins. And this selection that was optimized in a previous work myself in 2021. And just to get an idea about this measurement, so we extract 2-point statistics from this galaxy position. So this is an example from galaxy clustering, so that you can see the dependency with cosmology. So in our analysis, we remove the smaller scales of this correlation for which we have more modeling uncertainties. And then these are the two main parameters that we can obtain information from. So we have the matter energy density, for which for here you can see how it affects our signal of galaxy clustering, depending on whether you have a higher matter energy density or a smaller one. And S8 is the clustering amplitude. So it's, as you can see here, is basically related to the amplitude of our signal. So the higher S8 means the structure is more clustered, so we have more signal in the galaxy clustering measurement. And these two effects are slightly tangential, so they are, that's why, yeah, they have this like a tilt, and this is basically the amplitude of the signal. So these are the main parameters that we can constrain that I'm going to show you in the next plots. But this, the analysis overall is very complex. So we have to go from pixels observed in the telescope to these contours, as you can see here. And this is a summary of all the papers that were released in January. I'm not going to go through all these boxes, but that you can see that this is why it takes several years to finish this analysis. And this how the measurements look like. So these are the these two point statistics for cosmic shear. So this is correlating the shapes of the sources. This is correlating the positions of these lens galaxies, and this is the cross correlation. And we removed one of the beams for the lens sample because we had a systematic effect that we can detect, but we still don't know if that's. We have a bad fit to the data with this beam, and this is why we decided to discard it. But overall, we have an increase of the signal through noise with respect to the previous analysis. And so this is very promising. And as mentioned, so here the goal is to compare with the early universe observations so that we can test lambda CDM. In the contours, as I mentioned, so in 1 and 2 sigma contours, and this is actually already the result of this 3x2 point analysis compared with CMB observations. So here in red, this is the prediction from the CMB observations from three combined CMB observations, so from three surveys that probe the CMB, Planck, ACT, and SPT. This is the day's result for S8, assuming lambda CDM, the standard cosmological model. And this is our result from this year 6 combining galaxy cluster and weak lens. As you can see, they are compatible at the 2 point something sigma level. I'm going to go a bit more into the details. This is again now the same plot but with more contours. So now here in blue, this is the CMB, so the early universe result. And in pink, this is our result from this year 6 compared with previous results from the previous analysis from this. So as you can see, overall, we are consistent with our own results. And the consistency with the CMB has been moving around over the years. So in the previous analysis, we were at 1.5 sigma compared to Planck. In our current analysis, if we compare with Planck, we have less tension, so we are more in agreement with the CMB, with Planck in this analysis. But when you combine all the data from different CMB surveys, also the contours are tighter, and that makes this difference to be larger. But we're still at the 1.8 sigma level, so it's consistent with the CMB. Now, if we compare with other galaxy surveys, current galaxy surveys that probe weak lensing and galaxy clustering, this is what we have. So here again, blue and pink are the same results. We have here also the result of this year 6 cosmic shear only. Of course, it's larger because here we're not including galaxy clustering. And in the other two contours, this is comparing with other weak lensing results from other surveys from KITS and HSC that I mentioned before. And as you can see, we are also consistent with them, but with much tighter constraints. So this is the state of the art for these probes. Now we can also compare with other probes that I mentioned before. So here is a vertical region that is. These are the results from this only when combining supernova and baryon acoustic oscillations, which allows us to constrain the matter energy density. And when we combine this with also cluster counts from this, we obtain this orange contour that is much tighter. And again, it's about, is in this case, the discrepancy with CMB is a bit higher because this contour is tighter, but it's at the level of 2.8 sigma. So depending on depending on the people, yeah, some people find it already more intentional or less, but it's still consistent and this level. And now we can also explore all this work with Lambda CDM. We can also, in this paper, we also look at the equation of state for dark energy, which is this W parameter. So here, a horizontal line would mean the cosmological constant. We allow for variations of this parameter to see if we are in agreement with the cosmological constant or not. And this is what we obtain if we combine everything. So all the plots from this. As you can see, we are still consistent with the cosmological constant. So this is Bessel probes without including clusters. Is this orange contour is consistent with this dashed line, and also the CMB is also consistent. So when considering this, just this one free parameter for dark energy, we don't see any preference for extensions to Lambda CDM. But I have to say that there's still some work in this to consider other dark energy models, and the result will come out very soon. So considering higher order terms of this dark energy equation of state evolution, which show some more tension with the Lambda CDM model, so it will be exciting. And this is now similar plot, but combining with external data. So now here the orange contour, which is much more tighter, is combining with all external data, so also with CMB data, also with binary acoustic oscillations from DESI, and including, of course, all the supernova from this, and also cluster counts from external surveys. So this is the most constraining combination that we can find. And so we constrain with this the dark energy equation of state at the 2% level, and it's still consistent with a cosmological constant in this case. So as I mentioned, stay tuned for more complex evolving dark energy models that will be released in a few months. They are wrapping up this analysis. And now I want to talk a bit more about the other project from DESI. So using combination of galaxy cluster and wavelength lengthening, but combining data from multiple surveys as well. So as I mentioned, there are two different types of galaxy surveys, photometric and spectroscopic. Photometric ones are needed to measure weak gravitational lensing, and spectroscopic ones allows us to measure galaxy clustering with the highest precision. So the ideal thing to do would be to combine these two. So use the spectroscopic surveys for galaxy clustering and then combine with weak lensing data from other surveys. So this is what we have done in DESI. So DESI, the dark energy spectroscopic instrument, is a stage 4, 5 year spectroscopic survey. That map has been extended to 8 years using the Mayall 4-meter telescope at Kitt Peak National Observatory. And so the DESI survey started in May 2021 and is finishing the first 5 years of observations. But as I mentioned, it has been now extended to 8 years. So the instrument has 5,000 robotically controlled optical fibers that allows us to obtain the spectra of individual galaxies for 5,000 of them at the same time, which is amazing. So in total, it's expected to catalog redshifts from over 60 million of galaxies in 8 years, covering a large area of the sky. So the focus of this project is, as mentioned, to use the optimal combination between DESI and other surveys. So here you can see the overlap of DESI for the data release one, which are these gray dots. So here, darkest gray means more coverage, so it's reaching the basically all these telescopes scan the footprint several times. So darker gray means that it's more complete in that part of the observation. And here, this would go from areas not observed yet by this, because it's only the first year of observations. And this gray areas are that they are observed but not with full coverage. So it's still the first year, so this will improve with next data releases. I have some overlap with this wetlands-sync surveys that I mentioned before. So here you can see in red, this is kids 1000. So this is the previous result from kids, not the latest one. Then we have here the DES footprint that I showed before. So it only overlaps with DES in the northern part of DES. And then it has also some overlap with HSC, which is in the north. So here in this project, we are using now the DES galaxies as lenses, so to measure galaxy clustering, and they act as lenses for the weak lensing galaxies from the other surveys. So we can see here, and we do this combined analysis for all the combinations of DES with the other surveys. And for this project, we are using the first data release from DES, which is the first year of observations. This is a similar map to what I showed before, but now showing the different traces of all the galaxies observed by DESI are split in different galaxy samples. So here, this is the bright galaxy sample. Then we have luminous red galaxies, emission lamp galaxies, and quasars. This is just, well, each one of them has a different redshift range. So again, we are here and this is going to higher redshift and also farther away from us. And basically you have these different galaxy samples that we can use to measure galaxy clustering. So in this data release that was released 1 year ago, our 13 million galaxy redshifts were already released and we are currently analyzing the first 3 years of observations. So in this project, we for combination with wetlands-sync, we are using these two galaxy samples. So this is going to a lower redshift range, let's say, from all the DESI observations. And this is that is the main result of one of the papers. This one was led by me and doing a 3x2-point analysis. So this is similar to what I showed before, but in this case we are using this year three, so it's using the first 3 years of observations because the full data set is not public yet. And it's a DESI project. So here you can see this is in yellow is a reanalysis of this year three cosmic shear used for this analysis. And then in blue, this is the combination of DESI DR1 galaxy clustering with galaxy RG lensing, so the cross correlation with this year three. And then we combine everything in this green contour to obtain the tightest constraints again on these main parameters, which are the matter energy density and SA, which is the clustering amplitude. So it's always these two main parameters. We have done this for all the survey combinations, so also with kids and HSC. And you can see here these main results of the whole combination of galaxy clustering and wetlands-sync compared with early time CMB observations from Planck and the Lambda CDM. And again, this is consistent with the CMB with a lower clustering amplitude, but still consistent at the 1.5 to 2 sigma level. So this is consistent with these are the analyses of data from other external data sets combined for the first time with DES EDR1 data, and all of this is very interesting to see that all these surveys are consistent with each other and also consistent with the CMB. This was part of, when you say, a paper, right? So besides this paper that I just showed that is using, is a type of observables most similar to what is used in DES. So we use I mentioned before that we split the galaxy sample in tomographic beams, and in photometric surveys, we have to project through this tomographic beam. So we lose one of the dimensions. So it's an angular quantity that it depends on the position of the sky. So it's a 2D statistic, let's say. But there is another analysis that uses the the full 3D information for the galaxy cluster in part, taking advantage of DESI's spectroscopic survey, and you can have more precision. So this gives us higher constraints of the matter energy density. And then there is another paper that uses simulation-based analysis that doesn't include cosmic shear. So this is also using projected statistics, but it doesn't include the cosmic shear observable. Just mentioning it because they appear here in these plots. The text is a bit small, but here in orange, this is the result from my analysis that I showed before. In color is the result from the Semenite et al. Paper that uses the 3D information from DESI, and that's why it has tighter constraints on these parameters. And then there is the other analysis that has different analysis choices. But the nice thing to see here is that all of these analyses are highly consistent, even though they are using very different assumptions in the both in which data to include, what priors to assume in the models, and other assumptions in how you carry out this analysis. So this is very nice. Now, if we compare this with the analysis, we have here, for example, a comparison of the cosmic shear part. So as I mentioned, one of the conclusions of this project is that we reanalyze the public cosmic shear data from these surveys with our own pipeline, and we compare with previous results from these collaborations in this figure. This point has a different symbol because it corresponds to another data set that is more recent, so that's why we are not, we don't expect an agreement with this data point, but for all the other cases, our work is recovering what was released before for this by this collaboration. And then this, again, a comparison of the constraints, now combining galaxy clustering with weak lensing with other analyses in the literature. So here, the results of this paper led by Agnes Menaite are shown here in bold, and they are compared with previous analyses of these data sets, and they are in general consistent between them, which is also very nice to see. All of them are slightly lower than the CMB, that's why there is some talk about the SA tension going on in cosmology, but this is still at the level of between 1 and 3 sigma, so it's not statistically very relevant. Now, we are working, as I mentioned, in the analysis of the VR2 data, so the first 3 years of observations. So now here, you can see that this is darker gray, so the DESI observations are more complete, so it would be very nice to analyze this data. And there is a new weak lensing data set, which is Decade. So this is using also the DCAM camera that DES uses, but including more observations from this camera, that's all. It's more of inhomogeneous than the DES data, but it covers a larger area. And there has also been some cosmic shear analysis of this data set. So the main advantage here is that it has a much bigger overlap with the DESI data, which will allow us to have tighter constraints, especially in this combination of galaxy clustering with weak lensing, this galaxy-galaxy lensing correlation. So here, so here you can see again, similar to before, but with Decade, we have about 5,000 square degrees, which is much higher overlap than before. And the DESI data is also more complete. Looking ahead, so by the way, this is a project we are working on now with Argan, so maybe at some point in the future she will present some results of this analysis. And looking ahead, we also want to combine this DESI data with Euclid. So right now, I mean, here's a similar picture of the overlap. It's not great for the Euclid data release one and DESI data release one, because Euclid started observing from the poles and DESI started observing from here. So it will take some years to have more overlap, but Euclid is expected to cover almost, I mean, Euclid is a satellite in space, so it will cover most of the the observable area, so it will overlap with most of this. At some point, this will be a very interesting project. So looking ahead, we are interested in carrying out this combined analysis. And now, to conclude, we have presented legacy results from the 6 years of observations from the combination of weak lensing and galaxy clustering. And here we find between 2 and 3 sigma lower values of the SAFE, this clustering amplitude parameter, compared to early time observations from the CMB. This is consistent with what was found in previous analysis. This is also the first time we combine all 4 dark energy probes proposed at the beginning of this. So we combine 3 times 2 VAO, supernova, and clusters, and we obtain in this combination a similar constraining power as CMB in our main constraint parameter, which is also really nice because CMB has been so far the most constraining experiment alone for conventional parameters. Then in WCVM, so when we allow to vary the dark energy equation of a state, this constrains this parameter to 4%, still consistent with the lambda CDM model. And if we combine with all available data, we can increase this constraint to 2%, and still we find no preference for WCVM over lambda CDM, but this is, there's some ongoing work for extending this to other dark energy models. And second, we have also obtained cosmological constraints from the combination of multiple surveys, so kids, DES and HSC weak lensing data with DES EVR1 galaxy clustering. And the main conclusions from this project is that we have reanalyzed state-of-the-art public weak lensing data with a unified modeling pipeline. And we still find consistent results between surveys and with each survey's fiducial results. So it's a very robust consistency test of weak lensing. In this case, we still find lower values of the state compared to the CMB from Planck and still consistent with other analysis as well. So thank you for your attention. I'm happy to take any questions.
So, question for Alan. Okay, for Alan Salvatore.
Okay, thank you for the nice, clear talk. I was wondering how robust all of this is. So, you say it's very consistent, everyone, but you said there are 50 parameters, and only 6 are the parameters which are physical.
Mm-hmm.
And your addition, Gaia measurements cannot be used in this because there is another ratchet.
So Gaia, Gaia catalogs are used to remove the stars from the galaxy sample, but they have not been used for, as a cosmological probe. There are other cosmological analyses that use quasars from Gaia combined with other probes to obtain some constraints, but we have not explored this in this or in this analysis. And regarding the parameters, it's just that, having more astrosystematic parameters, I would say that makes it more robust in a way because you are considering all these sources of systematics. It makes the analysis more complex to run. But we have, this is why we removed this bin two that I mentioned before, because we had, so for example here, I didn't go through this because it's more technical, but in the paper we show how the results vary when you consider different astrophysical systematics, different calibration systematics, and other data splits. And as you can see here, our main results are all consistent when you do all these different variations. So this is considering, for example, more parameters for intrinsic alignments, which is one of the astrophysical systematics. This is related to the redshift calibration, which is one of the main systematics. And when you consider different ways to do this calibration, you still find something that is consistent. And one of the issues we had with this bin that we removed from the analysis is that in one of the parameters, this is what we obtain. So this is the prior that we were assuming given our calibration, but what the posterior distribution of this parameter was hitting the edge of the prior and was unresolved. And this is something that didn't change. If you consider different redshift calibrations, we still had issues with this beam. So we didn't have our filter data, and this was a red flag for us. So we decided in the end to remove it. And this is something that we can have an idea why this beam in particular is more problematic, which is the second one, because it's related. So this is why it's difficult to estimate redshifts in photometric surveys. So for example, these are the broadband filters used in this. And for some galaxies, the spectral distribution is degenerated when you consider with this range. Now we would have to go to the infrared to be able to distinguish, to pinpoint the redshift of this galaxy. There's also, in this in particular, a bit of a gap between these two filters. As a consequence, we saw that when using, when estimating the photometric redshifts, there is a tail that matches with beam 2. So we know that this beam can have more particular, it's more difficult in some sense. And we think that given the increase in statistical precision that we have with a full data set, now we need more accuracy also from the data set. So this is something that we already saw some hints in the previous analysis, but it was not statistically significant, and now maybe more difficult to fit the data in that point. But in any case, our main results don't change whether you include this bin or not. So it's just, so this is more, although very robust, yeah.
Wait.
There was also a Jose.
Jose, no, Jose first, no, sorry.
I mean, this is a nice question, but you showed the S8 parameter, which is connected, I think, to the 8 megaparsec scale. Are there any reasons to look at that particular scale, and what if that scale is more sensitive to modeling or systematics, and that's why you see a discrepancy?
Yeah, I mean, there was also was a paper, because one of the problems of assuming that scale is that it's not only it's in megaparsecs over h, so all the distances we consider in cosmology depend on this h parameter, which is related to the growth of expansion of the universe. So depending on the value of h, this scale can also change. So some people, well, there was a proposal to use sigma 12 instead, so using 12 megaparsecs that don't depend on h, and there are some analyses that use those parameters. In particular, I didn't include the figures here, but in the other analysis from the DESI analysis, in this analysis, the constraints are on this sigma 12 instead of sigma 8. And still, you can reconvert this to S8 and you have this inconsistency. Basically, we have not obtained constraints with this parameter in this, but still, you can see some discrepancies with the CMB, even if you remove this dependency or you consider a different scale. And sometimes it's also interesting that in the BSM results from DESI VR2, there's I didn't include it here because it's part of a different analysis, but the recent BAO measurements from DESI VR2 start to be inconsistent with the CMB for omega m, for the matter energy density. So the experiments are increasing so much in precision that we're starting to see like that they are growing apart in some of the results. So it will be very interesting to see what we find in the future.
Well, when you compare the results with the Planck results, are you using the same Planck results? Because it looks to me that at least the region, Planck region, changed along all the process.
Yeah, so here, this is a broader contour because these are the analysis of Planck data using the same priors used in the other in this analysis. In particular, in the Planck release, they fix some of the neutrino masses. So if you allow this parameter to vary, then the contour looks like this. So when it looks like just a narrower ellipse, it's because the sum of the neutrino masses is fixed, which is the field.
So they have got the same values in order to compare.
Exactly, to compare on the same terms.
And then the other things that, you were talking about the systematics. For example, over here, on the other curve, when you're talking about S8 or Omega M. So what's the leading systematics that you have there? You were saying more or less this before, but mentioning several things at the same time. But what's the leading system?
Yeah, so as you can see, go back to. So, depending on how you look at it, so one of the main systematics in terms, if you don't get this right, you get bias constraints, are the photometric redshifts and the bias when you estimate the cosmic shear. But this is why this analysis takes so long, because we spend a lot of time trying to calibrate this very well. And the result is that if you assume different assumptions in this calibration, we still find the same results. In that sense, what is limiting us the most is that we are removing a lot of data points, what I mentioned before. We remove all the smaller scales because they are more difficult to model and we have more uncertainties in the modeling part there. So if we could include those scales, these constraints would be much narrower. So in that sense, the limiting systematic are the modeling in the small scales, which for cosmic shear is impacted significantly by the baryonic feedback effects that make a suppression of the matter power spectrum. And we still don't know. There are different models of baryonic feedback from different hydrodynamical simulations, and we still don't know which is the right one. So it's one of the...
More questions? Yeah.
Yes, I have one that may be sort of concluding kind of question. So when you go to the different conferences and the meetings, what is the overall sentiment or even your own opinion about the sigma A tension? Is that something that people feel is going away? Or is that something that, I mean, future analysis is going to look into it, but is there still excitement or questions about it?
So
because it is consistently always below, so it's not like it's around.
Yes.
See if you have this. I wanted to show the comparison with other weak lensing data here. So here, last year there was a release of this result. This is the last cosmic shear measurement from KITS. Its legacy, and surprisingly, their previous results were around here, and surprisingly, they moved towards the CMB quite a lot. So now they are fully consistent with the CMB, one sigma or less. So after that analysis, everyone was saying the assay tension is dead, and everything will agree more. And now that, but as you can see, our results are still consistent with what we had before, so it's still at 2 sigma or so. So I think now after these results, like the feeling in the community is going back to what we are in the same position as before, at least. But it, depending on the person, on who you ask, they will say that it's consistent because it's 2 sigma, or they will say there is an S8 tension.
But at some point you say 3 sigma, where is this 3 sigma coming?
It's when you combine with all the best probes from here.
Ah, okay.
So we combine with supernova VAO, the supernova this VAO and clusters.
If someone at home wants to make a question, can to talk.
Are the VAO supernova clusters, is one of them driving, is one of them much lower than the others for SA or
Not part is not that
Not
no, it's just that I think it's a tighter constraint as you can see here. I mean, all of them are consistent, but if you stay at the same spot with tighter constraints, it just increases. It's right.
More questions?
So sorry, just to complement this, how it works on the other analysis with DESI, what was the term of tension? Just to...
Ah, so in the DESI VAO, it was with omega
no,
n.
No, I mean DESI, your DESI,
ah.
Say,
it was one point between 1.5 and 2, but it's only 3 times 2 points, so it's consistent. So here we obtain, and that one is comparing with Planck. So if we compare with the same CMV data, it's 1 sigma with DESIR 6, 3 times 2, and 1.5 with DESIR 3 cross DESIR 1. But so it's consistent.
Someone wants to make another comments, questions. Okay, so that's right.
Sorry. SA can be measured somehow totally different or not? Because clustering in galaxies, is there a way to measure this way of clustering without this four, or there is no other way?
You can see, well, you can see here that with other probes, I mean, with supernova and VAO, you only measure omega n, but there are also, you can obtain with cluster counts. Here they are combined with 3 times 2, but they also, by their own, they also give results on SA. And you can obtain the prediction for SA from CMB. And so these are, so basically, yeah, this is information about the growth of a structure, so you need to have some probe also that gives us some information about the distribution of large scale structures to have information on SA.
No questions? No? Okay, Nick, thanks again.
We'll see you next week in the next session.
Thank you. Bye bye.
Bye bye.
See you.